Good morning, everybody. I want to first thank the congregation here for the invitation. It's a privilege, it's an honor, not just to be here, but to be able to share the gospel with you, to be able to talk about this subject that for some reason we got to talk about. And it's kind of a shame that we have to touch on a topic that doesn't even make sense if you're a Christian. Racism is nothing new. And before I go into that, Melvin, where are you? Raise your hand. I can't see Melvin. I can't see first of all. Okay. I love you too, brother. We are happy to be here. My wife came with me. We traveled by train. And that was the first experience. Well, we got a train system in Dallas, but there's nothing like the train, the Amtrak, and it was a long train ride. But it was good. We enjoyed it. I want to thank the brethren on record, the brethren in Richardson, Texas, that helped us to be able to come. Melrose Congregation helped us with the tickets, and I'm glad for that, because the truth of the matter is, when God wants something done, He'll get it done. And that's why we're here. I'm assuming that the lesson this morning is not a lesson on history. I hope you're not expecting me to give you a historical lesson. I don't want to go over American history. I don't want to talk about slavery in the States, in Africa, or Europe, or all these other places, because otherwise 45 minutes is not enough, because that's a long, long history. I'm assuming that you want to talk about this subject from the viewpoint of Scripture. I'm assuming that we need to talk about this racism thing according to how maybe we need to see it scripturally, how God has taught us in His Scriptures about this subject. And I want you to know that I went over the Scriptures a lot. And the only thing that I want you to know to begin this lesson is that, number one, being a racist does not fit the biblical description of what a child of God is. Number one. And I want you to know that, because if you are a child of God and you have any tendency to discriminate because of color or race, culture, tradition, you are wrong. It is not biblical. It is not scriptural. It is not something that God wants. The second thing I want you to know is that God is not a racist. In fact, further from that, He created the race. So, I want you to know also, as a preface to the lesson, that I have personal experiences like all of you have, whatever color you are, it doesn't matter. Everybody has experiences. Whether you were on the bad side of them or on the good side of them, or maybe you've been on both, everybody has experiences when it comes to racism. When I was growing up, I remember seeing pictures of Jesus Christ. He was a tall, slender, baby blue-eyed, blonde, Anglo-Saxon, good-looking young man, a white Christ. And as I got older, I remember going through books, and I love books. So I'm going through books, and I stumbled on a picture of a good-looking, slender, tall, I don't know what color eyes he had, but I think it was black or brown. Black Christ. And I thought, wow, that's radical. Somebody took that leap and made him black. Okay? But I want you to also know that I have never seen an Asian Christ, an Indian Christ. I've never seen a Hispanic Christ. It's either black or white. I don't know why. Maybe we can think about that too. I grew up in West Texas. I remember having gospel meetings with brethren that were Anglo, white-speaking, English-speaking, white brethren, Brother Wayne Partain, Brother Bill Reeves, who's already passed. And I remember thinking to myself, they speak Spanish. And I thought, wow, man, a white guy speaking Spanish. So he was speaking Spanish, and they were preaching to us. And I remember how I thought it was interesting to see white brethren interested in us Latinos, us Hispanics, Mexicans. I thought that religion at that time had roots or derived from Europe, Anglo-Saxon religion. I don't know why, don't ask me. You grow up thinking so many things because that's the way it is, and that's the way I saw it. I got older, and I saw differences, other differences, in the Church of Christ. The differences were not doctrinal. They had nothing to do with gospel, had nothing to do with scripture. The difference in the Church of Christ, because see, right now, my focus this morning is going to be more us than anybody else in this world. It's us, the children of God. The differences were not doctrinal. It was that some churches sang different. Some preachers preached different. I think the brother that just preached was talking about bouncing up and down. The only reason I don't bounce up and down anymore is because it takes a lot of effort. And I have to be close to my screen so I can see it. But you know, there were differences. Some brethren love to scream and yell and cry and, you know, they tell jokes. They do a lot of things and, you know, different preachers. Sometimes it had to do with culture. Black preachers sometimes preach different than white preachers. Hispanic preachers a little bit different than white or black. It's just the way it is. It's a cultural, traditional kind of thing. Singing, oh my goodness. Singing is different. In Oak Cliff, where Tony used to preach, my brother Antonio, I remember, I'm still there. We sing, and yeah, I know, it's the age thing. We sing, and we sing ugly. Everybody just goes and just sings. You know, we want to sing, and everybody sings, and forget about bass and soprano and tenor and all that. We don't do that. We just sing. And it sounds good to God, but you may not like it. We go to other churches, and they sing beautiful. You know, they have that four-part harmony, and every once in a while, there's another person singing, I don't know what else, and it sounds really, really, really nice. You know, you go to black churches, different gospel songs, and, you know, it's different because of the tradition, the culture, maybe the color. But that's what I noticed. I want you to also notice or note or think about the fact that the other differences, especially as I was growing up, was that there was a black church and there was a white church and Latino church, Spanish-speaking churches. So you got all different kinds of churches of Christ that have nothing to do with doctrine. It had to do with color. It had to do with language. This morning, somebody asked me yesterday what my approach was to the lesson. And you know, he kind of messed me up because I hadn't thought about it. And then all night I've been tossing and turning and thinking, okay, how am I going to start this? How am I going to talk about racism? Nothing new. Well, first of all, y'all didn't ask me if racism is new. Actually, the topic says it's not new. It's telling, it's confirmation. It's telling us that racism is nothing new. It is nothing new. And it doesn't have to start here in America. It isn't something that started all of a sudden out of the blue by white people or brown people or any kind of people. It's nothing new. Racism is nothing new. But since this is the way I do things, I appreciate the brother that just preached because of definitions. We need to define what is race. I don't believe that the word is properly used. I don't think that when we talk about racism, we're not thinking about the word itself. So what I did is I went to the dictionary, and I had to look for the etymology of the word, how it derived, where it came from. The word race, and I'm going to read to you a little bit of what the dictionary that I found says. Races are usually distinguished by visible biological characteristics like the amount of melanin in the skin, color, and certain facial features. That is why in colloquial or everyday language we speak of white race, black race, yellow race. That's one definition. Another one. I'm going to go down a little bit because I want to talk about this. The different human groups that populated the planet were named races. According to various classification systems used mostly between the 8th through the 20th centuries, it was thought for centuries that human beings could be separated by races. Taking into consideration their physical characteristics, skin color, hair, facial, angle, skull shape. Hence, the human species has traditionally been divided into three large races, white or Caucasian, yellow or Mongoloid, and black. And by the way, I'm going to interject something. I was born in West Texas, and my birth certificate says I'm white. I'm not white. I don't know why, but three races. I'm not yellow, and I'm not black, so I'm white. They classify human beings. So I'm going to keep reading. However, at present, it is considered that the human species is not divided into races, but that we all, listen carefully, all descended from a common trunk. That is, in this sense, the separation by races is nothing more than a convention, and it's arbitrary that it has no scientific basis, much less implies any hierarchy. Hence, and as an alternative to the concept of race, we should opt for ethnicity. In other words, there is only one race. There are not three races, five races, 10 races. There's only one race, the human race. If you are a racist, you hate everybody around you, and you hate yourself. Human race. If you are a racist and you're using it in another way, I can understand that, because that's what we have nowadays. We have people that use the word racism in that way. You know, different races, different colors, different traditions. We're going to deal with that subject in that way. The synonyms: racism, discrimination, favoritism, partiality, preference, exception or respecter of persons, bigotry, prejudice, bias, partiality, intolerance, predisposed, inclination. I thought that kind of covered everything. In other words, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to look at this brother right now. I love your hair. Okay? And that's the first thing, guess what? I saw your hair. You know, Hispanics don't have hair like that. In fact, this thing that I got here hanging, I just started maybe, what, 6 years ago? It never came. And all of a sudden, I've got it. So when I get to a train station, or I go to a bus station, or I go anywhere, I am profiled, and they don't know how to profile me. They don't know if I'm Hispanic, if I'm a Muslim, where I'm from. They look at me, and I've got people coming into offices. They'll speak to me in Indian or in that dialect. They'll talk to me in Middle Eastern, Arabic, Persian. They'll talk to me in Spanish. They don't know how to deal with me because they don't know what I am. I get on a train, and the first thing I see are the conductors and the people dealing with the train. They're looking at me and my bag. And they're looking at me and my bag and my phone, and they're thinking, what is he going to do? You see? That's what that is. Discrimination. Predisposed. Prejudge. They look at me, and they already know that guy's going to blow up something. See? Or they look at me, and they say, what part of Mexico are you from? I'm not Mexican. I am Hispanic, Latino. I was not born in Mexico, but everybody thinks that anybody speaking Spanish is Mexican. No, it's not true. You're predisposed. You're inclined. You are prejudging. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not believe that people are bigots all the time. I think that sometimes it's just plain ignorance. That's all it is. Sometimes they don't know. And sometimes, like you hear a lot, what we don't know, we fear. What we don't know, we just don't know, and we don't know how to deal with it. So we do the best we can, and usually is we separate ourselves. We distance ourselves from something or people that we don't understand. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Please go with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. I want you to know that I preach bilingual, and that means that when I present a lesson, it's always in English and Spanish, Spanish and English all the time. So today, this morning, it's a little bit difficult because I want to automatically say what I just said in Spanish, and you're not going to understand me. Acts 17:26. He made every nation of men of one blood to live on all the face of the earth, ordaining four appointed seasons and boundaries of their dwelling. Did you notice one blood? Everybody on the face of the earth, not on this part of the earth or that part of the earth, all of the earth, one blood. Your blood is as red as my blood. My blood is as red as your blood. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. The blood is red. It's one blood. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Chapter 2, verse 7. Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We all have read that. We all know those verses. But these verses have a lot to say than just God is the creator. What it says also is that he created man. I want you to notice that he didn't create different men. He didn't come and say, okay, I'm going to create a red man. I'm going to create a white man. I'm going to create a black man. It says he created man. That's it. He didn't give us a description of the man. You know, God is wise. He knows why he didn't put the color of man on there. Because can you imagine if God created men brown? I'd be happy. Because every one of you came from me. See? Brown. Or what if he had created him black? Oh my goodness. Or white. See, he didn't tell us what color he was. He didn't tell us the hair that he had. Was it an afro? Was it braided? Was he bald? Melvin? I don't know. But God created man. You know, and I was reading these verses for a reason, because I was thinking, okay, so what else does it teach us? You know, sometimes we don't get the verse unless you really study the verse, and you sometimes have to get a little bit deeper into the verse. So I thought, okay, I'm going to look at the word man. The word man in Hebrew is the word Adam. Adam. Do you know that that word comes, the root of that word, is a word that means red, ruddy, rose-colored, flushed. So I'm thinking to myself, that just messed up a lot of people. The first man was a red man. See? That's why he didn't tell us, and he kind of told us. But it wasn't because he wanted more melanin or less melanin. It's because of the dust of the ground that he made him from. That's it. All of us are made from the same substance. All of us. Same trunk. That's what he says, the same trunk. I want you to read with me in Acts chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. And we're going to get down a little bit more to what we want to talk about this morning, about us and this racist attitude, the bigoted attitude, the discriminatory attitude that we might have. Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. We probably have read these verses a lot, but I want you to read them again with me. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, a multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretans, Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Day of Pentecost, every nation under heaven was in the city. All Jews, because they were coming for the day of Pentecost. They were all there because of the Passover. They had a reason to be there. All these people from all over the place were in one city. I want you to know that these are the countries that were represented that day, modern day countries: Iran, Iraq, Israel, Kuwait, Egypt, Greece, Tunisia, Libya, Algeria. From the east to the west, the north to the south, all the nations of the world in those days were there. Notice, and I want you to really notice, not one mention of color. It didn't say whites and blacks and yellows and browns and orange and all these variations of colors. All the rainbow of heaven was under the same sky. No, nothing. Not at all. Just countries. Just people and their languages. They were all there. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 46. 44 through 46. And all who believed were, listen, together. Had all things in common. They were selling their possessions, belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day attending the temple together. Breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. Together. Who was together? Where together? What were they doing together? This is one church. Do you know how many people got baptized at the very beginning? You remember? More than 3,000? About 3,000? 3,000 people of all different what? Nationalities. Colors. Languages. Together. Together. There wasn't those that spoke that language over there. Start your own church. Other languages over there, start your own church. It wasn't that he split them up in colors, variation of colors, or languages. Together. The church. Together. You know, it wasn't until I was maybe what in my 30s that I was astounded when I was younger than that, when I would go to an Anglo-speaking church and there was a black guy. Because you didn't see black people in Anglo churches. And if you did, you wondered why. You know, or Hispanics. So, together. See, to us, it has been a novel idea to be together. It has been something new in this country for the church to be together. Because we call it segregation. We call it separation, a spiritual apartheid. That's what it was. Together. Where were they together? What did all things in common? Oh my goodness. I was sharing with people I don't know. Giving people that I don't know from, I don't know where they're from. I don't even understand them. And I'm selling my stuff for them. I want you to read with me. Because I've always been astounded by this example in the Bible. Acts chapter 8, 26 and 27. Acts 8, 26 and 27. Read with me. You know, I know we have read this. We talked about this in the context of maybe baptism and confession. And, you know, this man was reading the Bible or reading the Old Testament. And, you know, somebody come by and asked him, hey, do you know what you're reading? I don't understand unless somebody explains it to me. So he stops the car. He gets in. He teaches them. He gets baptized. And we're thinking, wow, that's a pretty good example of what we're supposed to be doing. Well, I want you to notice something a little bit more than just that. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the gate that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Do you know what stands out that is not there in these verses? The obvious. What color was he? Was he white, green, orange, blue, brown? What? I'm assuming, like probably all of us here, that he was black. Why? An Ethiopian. In fact, he worked for the queen of the Ethiopians. Ethiopia is not a white country, a black country, what is it, a yellow country or a red country. It's Africa. Black. An Ethiopian. Example of a person getting baptized. And he was black. Was Philip black? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me if Philip was black. I'm assuming he probably wasn't dark-skinned, or maybe he was just a little bit because of where they are in this part of the country. But all I know is that color is not mentioned. I've gone through the whole scripture almost looking for anywhere where color is mentioned. Go home. Study it. Look for color of somebody's skin in the Bible. I found, I believe it was three. One where it talks about the Ethiopian cannot change the color of his skin like a leopard cannot change his spots. I read where he talks about the Ethiopians and the brilliance of their skin. They looked like they were polished when the sun hits it because of the color, but it doesn't say the color. I think it is an amazing thing that the Bible never talks about color like we do. We have to have subjects, lectureships. We have to have lessons presented to talk about the most obvious thing in this world. Everybody has a different color. Even Hispanics are different in color. You know, you can go parts of Mexico, they're really, really dark. And you go other parts of Mexico, they're really light. You've got Spaniards, a lot lighter skinned than us. You've got different kinds of variations of black, of white. We're the only ones obsessed with color. God is not obsessed with color. God doesn't care what color you are. I want you to notice that this man, this Ethiopian, was of a different color. Not because it said so, because we said so. Acts 13, 1 and 2. Acts 13, 1 and 2. Now, there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Simeon, who was called Niger, one of my nephews, or one of our nephews, saw that verse one day and said, "What? The N-word." He looked at it and he was just astounded that he saw the N-word in the Bible. He said, no, Niger. You know what that is in Latin? Negro. In Spanish, negro. Black. So Simeon was called Niger. I wonder why. Was he black? More than likely. Lucius of Cyrene. You know where Cyrene is? It's in Africa. Do you know that the first brethren were a mixture of all these colors? Isn't that something? To me, it's the most fascinating thing in this world to know that the first 3,000 that were baptized were not all the same color. They were not all from the same country. They didn't all speak the same language. They were all different. Different. Every single one of them. So I'm assuming, okay, so they're different. What happens when people are different? Problems arise. Was a church different in those days? I want you to read with me in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Acts chapter 6, 1, 2, and 3. Acts 6, 1 through 3. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint, here we go, by the Hellenists, the Greeks, rose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples, and they said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, take out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." I hope that you know where I'm going with this. So, the disciples are increasing in number. In other words, a lot of people are being converted. Bunches of people. The church is still in Jerusalem. Nobody has left. Can you imagine 3,000 and then 5,000 and then 10,000? The thousands of Christians in Jerusalem. Everybody from under the earth that had obeyed the gospel didn't go back to their places. They're all in the same place. So, you know, I'm thinking it's about time that something like that happened. Because, see, you can see it coming. The Greeks are saying, "Hey, our widows are being neglected." Notice that it didn't say discriminated against, racism. No, but they were neglected. The question that you have to ask yourself is, why were they neglected? Was it true that they were neglected? Was it maybe in their heads because, you know, them Jews, you know those Hebrews, you know those people, and, you know, we're not like them, and they're neglecting our women, our old women, our widows. It's got to be that. So they complained. So, the wisdom of God, using His apostles, I want you to notice. So they called everybody together, and this is what they said. Okay, the Greeks, find yourself a good Greek men. Find yourself some good Greek persons that can take care of all your Greek women. Because only Greeks know the Greeks. Right? Get yourself somebody that can assimilate, somebody that can understand, somebody that's sympathetic, somebody that knows your plight. No. Did you notice that he didn't ask for people of the same race, of the same place? In fact, he says, get y'all seven men of good repute. Seven, I've seen another version that says seven good, honest men. Good repute, full of the Spirit, and of wisdom. Why? Because you get somebody else, they're exactly, this is what they're going to do. They're going to start dividing the women into classifications. You know, because we're smart. We men are so intelligent, we know what people need. We understand that some people just, you know, can't stand other people. We understand all that. So they won't be fighting and arguing and complaining and whining and moaning. Let's get them separated. Let's, again, segregate them. No. That's not what they did. He said, get you seven good men, full of the Spirit, of wisdom. Let them deal with it. We need to continue ministering. That's it. Easy solution. I want you to read something else. Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 14. Galatians 2, 11 through 14. But when Cephas, Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Now I want you to remember what we're reading right here. Cephas, Peter, the apostle, came to Antioch. I opposed him, says Paul, because he stood condemned. Poor Peter. He's always had issues, hasn't he? Well, here we go. Peter stood condemned. What did he do? Well, before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back. He separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. The rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before all of them, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Okay. You got to change some names maybe a little bit, change the color, change the language, change something, but it's the same. Same old, same old. I want you to notice the word hypocritical. I want you to know that sometimes we preach the gospel to all, and that's not true. We preach the gospel to some, depending on who they are, where they are, what language they speak. You know, we talk about preaching the gospel to brethren that are from Mexico. You know, nowadays, there's this big, big controversy about illegal aliens. Illegal immigrants, whatever you want to call them. You know, we talk about the illegal immigrants. We can't preach to them because they're illegal. Well, an adulterer is an adulterer. A drunkard is a drunkard. We don't make differences with that. You preach to all. Period. Everybody. I want you to notice that what this man did, Peter, he did what a lot of people sometimes do. He's all good when they're all the same. Here is Peter sitting with all these Gentiles. Gentiles means not Jews. So he's sitting with all these Gentiles. I don't know where they're from. This is in Antioch. So you got a lot of people from different places. So he's sitting there eating and drinking and having fun and conversing. And, you know, it's good fellowship with all these Gentiles. Until brethren from the circumcision party Isn't that funny that it calls them circumcision party? Like the Republican Party, like the Democratic Party, Independent Party. These are the circumcision party from the church. And when they came, what did he do? He drew back. He stopped eating with the Gentiles. He stopped hanging around with him. You know, you can't see me, you know, they can't see me because this caused troubles. My reputation is on the line. I'm not going to be able to go back to Jerusalem and have that validity that I've had for all these years because I'm sitting here eating with what? Gentiles? You know, Brother Melvin said something true earlier, more than he, maybe when he said it, wasn't meaning it that way. A brother from another mother? Well, we're all from the same father. Same father. And we can't eat together. We can't worship together. Think about it. Worship. We're not talking about, you know, you don't have to come to my house. Really? Yes. You should be able to come to my house. See, we start drawing lines about how close the fellowship is. You know, we call it whatever you want to call it. I don't care what you call it. You're making a line. You're drawing a line. You can say it's language barrier. You know what? Maybe I am, Tony is, a lot of brethren that you may know are, the testament that the language barrier should not even exist. I know Spanish. I know English. I can preach in Spanish and I can preach in English. I can even preach in Spanglish. By the way, that is a kind of a dialect. Yeah, I can preach in a lot of languages that maybe you can't preach. But we exist. What should not exist is the difference in churches. There should not be a church for Spanish. Okay. I was in Mount Pleasant, Texas. My wife and I started to work there a long, long time ago. In Mount Pleasant, East Texas. If you've never been from Texas, you've never been to Texas, East Texas is as far east, south that you can go. And in East Texas, there's a lot of issues, maybe a little bit of racism here and there. And I remember, you know, when I first went to Mount Pleasant, you know, I was brought there because of the Spanish race, the Hispanics, the racial demographics, that there was all these illegal immigrants that were working for Pilgrim's Pride Chicken. Okay, all the Spanish, all the workers that they had at Pilgrim's Pride, and I'll say this with pride, were Hispanics, were Latins, Latinos. None of them spoke English because they were all illegal. And that's where we were. That's where my first work was. And we were going to start a work for the Spanish-speaking people. So here we are in their building, using their building during the mid-afternoons to preach the gospel in Spanish to Spanish-speaking people. And I remember that one day I went over across the tracks. And if you know, I don't know about here, but I know in Midland, Texas, where I was born, when you talk about across the tracks, we know what's on the other side. And it wasn't, you know, white, Anglo, rich people. It was all of us on the other side. Tracks. The other side. Well, they had tracks. The English church building or the English-speaking brethren would meet on this side of the tracks. And on the other side was another building. So our black brethren. I asked the brother one day, I said, why are y'all so close? It's like you're like right there. They can walk across, y'all can walk across, and you know, why are they there? They speak English. They understand you. You understand them. Why are they there and not here? Why are you not there? Why are y'all not together? It's not language. Then what is it? You know what it is. Everybody knows why. This is not a secret. This is not something that nobody understands. Everybody knows what segregation was. Everybody knows that, you know, you obeyed the gospel a long, long time ago. You know where you go. You don't stay there. You don't belong there. You belong with your people. Your people. He belonged to his people. He was a Jew. The Jews came and he didn't want to make them mad. So he stopped eating with the Gentiles. And Paul says, that's hypocrisy. That's being a hypocrite. Racism? Nothing new. I want you to go to James chapter 2. 1 through 9. I think I'm almost, or should be almost done. Not voluntarily, but by force. James 2, 1 through 9. Brothers, show no partiality. As you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing, and you say, sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. And are not the rich ones who oppress you, the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. I don't think I need to explain this, but I'm going to anyway. This is called a guayabera. This is my version of a suit. Okay? No tie, no vest, guayabera. I am literally dressed up. Okay? This is not necessarily casual. This is good for me. So I come into a church service and I come in with a guayabera. And they're looking at me with my guayabera and they're thinking, what is he wearing? You know, we do that. Look at what she's wearing. Look at what he's wearing. You sometimes can tell when people are a little poorer than you are. You can look at their shoes. Don't look at my shoes. You can look at people's shoes. I've got better shoes than these. I didn't bring them. Anyway, I know you don't believe me. Not that I said it. Anyway, so they come in. They got really nice shoes. I love, what do they call them? My goodness. My dad used to love those shoes. You remember what shoes are, Tony? Stacy Adams. Oh, my goodness. I love Stacy Adams. Two-tone Stacy Adams. My wife hates the Stacy Adams to be two different colors. She's like, one color. That's... So when I go buy some Stacy Adams, she stays home. Because I want to buy me my... Anyway, I digress like the other brother did. So, you know, you can tell the shoes. You can tell by the clothes. You can tell, look at the collar. Sometimes you can see the wearing out of the collar because that's probably his best shirt and he uses it all the time. That's the way it is. The pants, the shoes, you can look at the cuffs and the pants. You know, he probably either just bought them because they're a little bit too high or too low or something, or he's used them a lot because you can tell he's been stepping on the bottom part of his cuff of his pants. You can tell that if you're looking for that, if that's what you like to do. And what does he say? Are you not showing distinctions? You know, if I don't feel like I'm dressed appropriately, I'll sit in the back. I don't want people to watch me walk up all the way to the front. They're looking at my pants and my shoes and look at his socks. They're falling down and the cologne or lack of. That's what we do. Don't do it. Don't show partiality. There are no distinctions. I know I'm running out of time, but so I'm going to get to what the Bible says in many verses that is, again, to me, the most obvious thing. Acts chapter 10, 34 through 35. Read with me, please. I'm just going to read a few, and then we're going to end the lesson. Acts chapter 10, 34 through 35. So Peter opened his mouth, and he said, truly, I understand. Listen. Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears Him does what it is right is acceptable to Him. He shows no partiality. Chapter 15, verse 8 through 9. 15, 8 through 9. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Romans chapter 3, 22 through 23. Romans 3, 22 through 23. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I go from house to house with my pamphlet. And my pamphlet is in Spanish. So I knock on the door and I say, when somebody opens the door, oh my goodness, they're Anglos. They're white. Pamphlet, Spanish. I'm sorry, got the wrong house. Yeah, isn't it funny? It's funny because that's what happens. You know, I'm a Spanish preacher. I preach the gospel to everybody that speaks Spanish. All have sinned. That person who opened the door, guess what? They've sinned. But I choose not to talk to them because of the color of their skin or the language they speak. That, brethren, is a sin. Everybody can do what's right before God. Can you imagine if God was making distinctions of people? I would want to be a part of that group, and there would be nothing I can do to be a part of that. If I had to be white to be right, I'd be wrong the rest of my life. I can't change the color of my skin. I would have to learn English. Okay, well, I've already learned it, but I've got the wrong color. Can you imagine? Or what if the Lord was choosing the black people, black race? The black brethren, I saw that. If he was choosing the black race, you know, I can't see very well, brother, but I can see motion. And you went like that. Can you imagine if God had chosen the black brethren? What would everybody else do? Well, they would do what they usually do, and they don't really admit it, but they go to tanning salons. Everybody's going to try to get black, or blacker, or darker. Thank God. Thank God for His grace, not mine. Thank God for His mercy, not mine. Because if it was according to Abelardo Montañez, that's what I'd be looking for. Somebody with an ñ in their name. Somebody Jose, Juan, Maria. Because you know what? That's me. I'm Hispanic. Brown pride. You see? That's the way it would work. It's a sin. It is a sin. It is a sin for brethren not to want to have brethren of other colors or languages in their midst. It is a sin for us to separate people because of their color and their language. You know what you do if they can't speak your language? Find somebody that can and translate. It's easy. It's easy. I do it all the time. Antonio does it. We have a service in Oak Cliff. We have a service that, you know, some of you may not like the service or may not be able to sit through a service because a service, you know, my sermon that is an hour long, translated, means another hour. So what I do is, for the sake of that, because it would be a very long church service, we break it down. So my 1 hour service, basically my sermon, I break it down into four. That would be four services. Every part of the sermon is English and Spanish. Ain't nobody going to go to Oak Cliff that will never hear the gospel. Everybody will hear the gospel. That's the way that it should be. That's scriptural. That's not Abelardo's version of what reality is. That's God. Everybody in the day of Pentecost, together. Everybody after Pentecost, together. Everybody in Jerusalem, 5, 6, 7,000 together. But what happened? We are looking at the world wrong. God is one God, and He made one people. And every person that He made has a soul. And you know what? I don't know what color the soul is, but I bet you anything. And I don't mean it by gambling. But I bet you anything that there is no color variation. It's just a soul. This morning, If you are not a member of the Lord's church, if you are not a child of God, I want you to look around you. I want you to look at everybody that is in this room. And I want you to notice, I do want you to note this morning, take the effort, look, and you can see all different kinds of people. That is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be a child of God, you will enjoy family of all different colors, of all different languages, of all different places. You can go to Mexico and you will find a brother in Christ. You will go to Japan, you will find a brother in Christ. Everybody is family. Everybody in the Lord's church is family. And we have issues every once in a while. Somebody kind of gets out of line. And we do things that we ought not to do sometimes. But you know what? The good thing about the Lord's church, it's called correction, repentance, amendment, conversion. We change. Because we try to do, we want to do everything that God wants us to do. You want to be a part of that? Easy. Call on the name of the Lord. Confess the name of Jesus Christ with your mouth. After you have believed, you repent of all your sins. Just change your mind. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We will baptize you for the remission of your sins. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. You now belong to the family of God. I thank you so very much for your attention. God bless you. God bless His word. Let us stand for the hymn of invitation.